And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. We've certainly had some summertime weather this month, with near record-breaking temperatures happening earlier this week across the province. However, a nice cooling trend as we make it through the weekend. Well, as we start out the show today, we felt it was important to speak about the situation as it unfolds in the city of Lahaina on the Hawaiian island of Maui. This is a place that's special to our hearts, and we know to the hearts of many across the province. It's said that British Columbians are one of the driving forces in the economy of Maui. I can say from firsthand knowledge that the Hawaiian people are strong and resilient. That goes without saying, being an island community. But should you be in a position to help the many now in need in the Lahaina area, we wanted to point you to two of the most secure GoFundMe pages out there. Now, that information is Maui Strong Fund, Hawaii Community Foundation, and Select Hawaii Wildfires on redcross.org. Please, if you have any ability to give something to these funds, I'm sure it will be widely appreciated by the people in Hawaii. Okay, now on today's show, we'll be joined by Michael Dow, farmer, vintner, owner of Liber Farms and Winery. We're going to talk about his vineyards in the Similkameen, as well as his much easier to find tasting room right on Highway 97, just outside of a Soyuz. Dow is really working hard to lift the image of his winery because he's making very fine wine. So we look forward to talking to him. Bruce Tyrrell, an old friend, joins us. He's now the chairman of Tyrrell's Winery and one of the great characters of the Australian wine industry. Bruce will speak to us about a grape that, you know, had its foundation in France early on, but as a varietal wine made in Australia, these guys have made it famous at Tyrrell's. Of course, I'm talking about Semillon, as they would say in Australia, or Semillon, as the French would call it. We'll also catch up with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. Well, he'll update us on his journey at Craggy, and we're going to talk about the differences in growing grapes from the north and south, and a little bit about some of the, you know, top-rated grapes coming out of New Zealand. That would be Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, and the underappreciated Chardonnay that comes out of New Zealand. But up next, Stephanie Schulz. She's the proprietor of 8th Generation Vineyards. She joins us to talk about their journey from Germany to the Okanagan Valley. So as it's an action-packed show, we can't wait to get started. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, an incredible place for a romantic escape this summer. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and sample the newest releases. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. After dinner, take a stroll along one of the beaches and enjoy the lake views. It's the ideal destination for a summer getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
And now, a BC Food and Wine Radio spotlight on British Columbia wineries, presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout out to Creston and all 25 other cities listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Stephanie Chalice. She's a proprietor at 8th Generation Vineyards in the Okanagan Valley. Stephanie, how are you today?
I'm very good. Hello.
It's great to catch up with you. I know we probably haven't spoken before, so I think we'll start a little bit with your story. And I love the name 8th Generation, so let's start there. What are all these generations about? Where have you come from?
What are them all about? Yeah, so as you probably all can hear, we are from Germany, and we actually have really indeed 8th Generation of winemaking in the history. But we are the first generation here in Canada. And this year we actually celebrate 240 years and 20 of them in Canada.
Wow. So if you had all those generations in Germany, what made the decision for you to come to Canada, and how did you end up here in British Columbia?
Okay, so the story is a little bit further. My husband studied the whole winemaking and viticulture side in Germany, and after the university you usually go a little bit further. So he went to New Zealand for a harvest. He did a harvest in South Africa as well. Kind of got a bag of another country, and we looked around. We looked in North America specifically, and looked in the Finger Lakes. Everything was just East Coast where we focused, and Niagara Falls region as well. And in a very short version, the people from Niagara, from the industry, told us, if you really seriously think of getting into the Canadian wine industry, you should have a peek in BC as well.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we did, and it was just sold, yes. But it was a really easy decision.
It was an easy decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And was it easy? Like, tell us where you're set up. Like, the Okanagan's a big place, so why did you decide to set up the winery where you did?
So we actually thought first, let's be a bit safe and just go and get a vineyard. We know how to grow grapes. We just wanted to see, can you really grow these amazing grapes, like the quality, like everyone was basically telling us about.
Yep.
So we played it safe. We bought a vineyard with Riesling on them. Again, coming from Germany, Riesling, that should be safe. We can do that. And so we sold all these grapes in the first 4 years to different wineries.
Uh-huh.
And then we were sure enough, yes, A, it's good for the family. We can stay here. It's a good country. And then also B, the quality we grow here is just amazing. So let's go for the next step and start our own brand. And so that's where 8th Generation was born.
Yeah. And you're set up in Summerland, so I don't know. I saw often call it sort of Mid-Valley. I like to call it the sweet spot for growing grapes in BC. Have you enjoyed the experience of growing grapes there?
So we grow in three different locations. We have the winery with the surrounding vineyards in Summerland,
mm-hmm.
but we also lease a vineyard in Naramata, and we also have the vineyard from Okanagan Falls, which we actually sold in 2021. So we have two locations left. We just wanted to downsize a little bit, but we still have some grapes from Okie Falls while we are releasing older vintages.
Right on. I'm speaking with Stephanie Schala. She's the proprietor at 8th Generation Vineyards, along with your husband, Bernd, who makes the wines. What has been the reaction from your family in your ancestors in Germany or your relatives?
Oh, well, they were probably a bit cautious, more cautious than us, I guess, when we told them that we go to Canada. I mean, there is still that cliche about the canoe, and actually, Grandma asked us if we need a helicopter to go shopping, so stuff like that happens.
Oh, my
really.
Goodness.
She was really concerned if we have central heat and stuff like that.
Wow.
So in a short version, they came all over a couple of years after we actually left, and just to reassure if the kids really do good. And my dad, which is a viticulturist as well, he was quite impressed how the vines, how the wood, how the vine trunks and everything, how healthy they are compared to Germany. Yeah.
Right. So what would you say is the biggest difference? I mean, let's start with the Riesling, because if you're growing Riesling here versus maybe the Riesling that you grew up with in Germany, how would you classify our Riesling versus theirs?
I think we have a really dry climate going into September and into October, which helps us to keep a very healthy fruit to start with anywhere. In Germany, you can have a good vintage, and probably in some areas in Europe, it's always the same. You have sometimes a very good vintage, and sometimes you have a colder climate or a colder summer period. You have a few weeks which the temperature drops. You have more issues with funguses, with bacteria affecting the grapes. You don't have the healthy grapes to work with. I guess that's the real, real big difference, but it's not compared to Europe.
Well, this might sound like an odd question, but what's the difference between consumers, wine consumers in Canada, say, versus Germany when they come to the winery?
Well, the Canadians are always much friendlier than the Europeans. I have to say the people are very interested. The people are very proud to drink their own products from BC, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So that is really the big, big difference. And
okay.
They feel kind of the connection while they are visiting us. Oh, they get the story. They understand. They understand the quality of the wines. They understand it's the same winemaker from day one. So that's what they really like.
Yeah, that counts. I'm speaking with Stephanie Schala. She's the proprietor at 8th Generation Vineyards. Now, Stephanie, if you were to quickly analyze your winery, if someone said, okay, I'm going to go and visit you, what is 8th Generation all about? We spoke about the Riesling, but give us an idea of what's going on at the winery.
Yeah, so we are located in Summerland, right beside the highway. So you have to pass us if you go north or if you go south.
Yep.
Very convenient on that side. We have a variety-wise, we do Rieslings. We have also a Blanc de Noir as a brand new wine. We are very well known for our Rosé, Pinot Meunier Rosé wine. Our Frissandé wines are very well known, Integrity and Confidence. We have Pinot Noir Merlot, and then we have a chilled red, which we offer during summertime as well.
Yeah, so we would say that you have quite a fresh style at the winery as well.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah,
I have to say, yes. So the style we are having is very fruit-forward, but the fruit-forwardness gets always backed up in our whites with a really crisp and nice fresh acidity. In the sparkling wines, of course, you have that exciting bubbly mousse that we have as a signature in our wines.
Yeah.
And then in the reds, we have a little bit of that fruit forwardness. We have a solid oak aging program as well, but still the oak and the fruit is more in a balance in our reds.
Mm-hmm.
So very medium, but also very food-friendly winemaking.
Yeah. I guess often when we talk about wines, we know that the Europeans they make wines for food, or they talk a lot about food and wine. And over the generations there, they've managed to match local foods and local wines together. Do you see that happening now in the Okanagan?
I think yes. And I see that in a lot of younger people as well.
Mm-hmm.
They get really serious. They are really interested. Where is the fruit coming from and where is it made and how is it made and what other ingredients go into the wine? Is it vegan? All these questions, which are totally amazing. I don't get all of that when I look back. I didn't get all these questions in the beginning when we started the winery, but now people are more interested of where is it, how is it made, what's in there, can I actually enjoy that with my type of lifestyle as well? It's not always about the food as well.
Yeah. Okay, so if I was someone that wanted to come and visit you, let's talk about hospitality at the property. When are you open? What are some of the things available for consumers that would visit 8th Generation?
Yeah, sure. We are open every day. We are opening at 10:30. We are there till 5 o'clock. We are doing bookings for our tasting. So with COVID, we were kind of forced to do that. And I think that was the best thing which came out of COVID for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we stick with the reservation. You have that one-on-one. You have a private tasting with us. It will take half an hour. And you will get guided through 5 wines from all of them, from our varieties. So
that sounds great. And in terms of buying wines now, obviously you can buy them at the winery. What about online or wine clubs? How does that work?
We do have a wine club, and which is nearly at capacity, but we still accept some new members. So that is an option. We ship Canada wide. I'm not sure if I should say that on the radio.
You can say it proudly.
So, yes, we ship Canada-wide, and you can order your wines online. We are in private liquor stores in BC only, and we also have some wines at the Safe on Food locations.
Okay.
That's basically our three tiers, some restaurants, some private liquor stores, and some Safe on Food locations.
Well, Stephanie, it was really great to catch up with you and hear a little bit about 8th Generation's Day, of course, located in Summerland, British Columbia. I have one last question. Who is the 8th Generation?
Bernd, my husband. We have to blame him. He's the 8th generation. My family goes back in the viticulture side to 10 generations, but we have the winemaker, so he is the 8th generation.
So there must be a 9th soon.
We try to train them. Our youngest one is actually active in the wine shop. She's too young to serve, but she's doing the busing, she's doing the clearing, she's doing the whole booking, the reservation, so she's involved for sure.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much. And hope to see everyone at one time in Summerland in the Okanagan.
Okay, that was Stephanie Chalice. She's the proprietor of 8th Generation Vineyard. Still ahead, Julian Grounds, chief winemaker for Craggy Range, joins us to talk New Zealand wines. On the radio weekly in 26 cities across British Columbia or on demand on all the major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Join us next time for another Spotlight on British Columbia Wineries presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
It ain't easy being number one, and it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Kredba, Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, we're thinking about back to school in the end of summer days, but there's still a few great events coming up in Langley that we can look forward to.
That's right, Anthony. Summer might be coming to an end, but it isn't the end of great events in Langley.
Well, tell us a bit about some of the upcoming events.
Of course. Let's start with the Langley Good Times Cruise-In on September 9th. This is something you have to see to believe. thousands of classic cars line the Fraser Highway in Alder Grove. You can stroll by, talk to their owners, shop at the vendor booths, listen to live music, and if you arrive early enough, you can be one of the lucky ones who can enjoy an In-N-Out burger that comes up all the way from California for the event.
Well, classic cars and In-N-Out burgers, that would be a great start to September.
Yes, and you might want to stay the night on September 10th because Langley is hosting a Feast of Fields event put on by Farm Folk, City Folk. This is a wandering gourmet harvest festival. With a wine glass and linen napkin in hand, you can explore the host location of Stable Harvest Farms while listening to live music, tasting gourmet creations from top BC chefs, farmers, fishers, ranchers, food artisans, and beverage producers.
And tickets are available online?
That's right. Tickets are available at farmfolkcityfolk.ca.
Aaron, those all sound like fun. Anything else on the calendar?
The Stalu Powwow will be held at the Langley Event Center September 15th to 17th. This is an Indigenous gathering of dance, song, and family celebration, and everyone is welcome to attend.
And complete details for all the events are on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. Hey!
Hello, British Columbia, across the province from Victoria to Fort Nelson and on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're taking off today on a journey to New Zealand. Our guest is Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. Julian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Anthony. It's great to be there.
Yeah, it's really great to talk to you. It's been a while, but before we even start, I want you to just sort of set the stage for our listeners and tell them where Craggy Range is and what you're all about there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually located in the North Island of New Zealand, and the winery and hospitality venue is based in Hawke's Bay. So if you look at the east coast of New Zealand, there's effectively a big bite out of the coast, and that's where we are. And we also have a major vineyards down in the region of Martinborough, which is about an hour east from our nation's capital, Wellington. So beautiful parts of the world. It's everything you can imagine, mountains and crystal clear water.
Yeah. And, last time we talked to you, you were just sort of getting going at Craggy Range. You've been there for a while. You've got a couple more vintages under your belt. What are you discovering about the place, perhaps, that you didn't know going in?
Oh, I think, as you mentioned, it was probably back in 2019 where we've kind of first spoke. So we've had some incredible harvests. And I think the thing that really shines out is that New Zealand is just a perfect place for growing grapes, in particular the cool climate varietals.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, Craggy Range is a very, very special winery. And you know, we've been fortunate enough to have a huge level of investment in the vineyards. And I think that we truly do make some global and unique wines.
Mm. Now, you know, in this part of the world, New Zealand's very famous for Sauvignon Blanc and now some Pinot Noir, but a lot of it is from down south, from Marlborough, but you're further north in Martinborough and Hawke's Bay. What can you tell us about those regions? Why is Craggy focused on them, and what sets them apart, say, from vineyards down south?
Yeah, it's interesting. So Craggy Range is coming up towards its 25th vintage, and in our infancy, whilst we planted in Hawke's Bay and in Martinborough, we also made some wine from the South Island. So we're quite familiar with those areas. But ultimately, we wanted to settle on our estate vineyards, which are now coming up to 20 years old. And the region of Martinborough is a little bit cooler than Marlborough, so we think that it gets a bit more finesse into the wine. But really, more importantly, it's a bit lower yielding. So you just get lower crops and a bit more intensity. And we find It's a really unique style of Sauvignon, and the Pinot follows along. And interestingly, it's actually some of the oldest Pinot Noir vines in New Zealand are in the Martinborough region.
Yeah. Well, we sure enjoy these wines here, and we're actually enjoying the sophistication, I guess. I think Craggy's always been sophisticated, but the way that Sauvignon Blanc is evolving and the way that people are pursuing, can I say, more of a terroir-based wine than just a grape varietal.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, sophistication, you actually really touched on a point that's incredibly important to us. And that comes in by way of how we blend the wines, but also, more importantly, how we grow the fruit in the vineyard. And we're making sure that we keep all the plots separate. And the thing that people, you wouldn't be able to see without getting here, but the vineyards are surrounded by beautiful mountains and these amazing terraces with quite large gravel stones. So there is a real reflection of place in the wines. And then we use things like barrel fermentation to really add intrigue to the palate. But an important point for me is that people really want to have that second glass. And that's when you know that you've got a great Sauvignon.
Yeah. What can you tell us? By the way, we're speaking with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. What can you tell us about the farming and the growing of grapes? We hear a lot about New Zealand being green. How green is Craggy?
Yeah, no, and it is. And I mean, it's green to the eye, but you can tell you that. It's a beautiful part of the world to come in summer. We're like everyone else who is acutely aware of the importance of heading towards a sustainable future. And so we began our path in organics 3 years ago. And in addition to heading towards organic certification, we've also planted huge areas around the vineyard which weren't deemed suitable for grapes with native New Zealand plants. And for us, that's incredibly important as a carbon sink, you know, sequestering carbon, but also, removing that monoculture of vineyards and creating a spot for biodiversity. So that's a really important part of our future, is having a diverse species within the vineyard.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about a couple of wines today before we run out of time. One is the Sauvignon Blanc Craggy Range Te Muna. This is out of Martinborough, which ranges around $32 across British Columbia. I mean, this is just such an outstanding wine. What can you tell us about Te Muna and this Martinborough wine?
Yeah, so it's 100% estate fruit off our vineyard that was planted in early 2000s. It's incredibly, with this vineyard, one of the most incredible aspects of it is I actually make about 40 different Sauvignons to blend up this wine.
Wow.
So effectively, yeah, so it's almost like making the base wine of house champagne, you know, like in terms of that consistency of style. And then we have some that's then goes into barrel fermentation, about 10%. And I think that probably gives you that kind of mid-palate roundness to the wine.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what we're looking for is a wine that's quite saline and citrus, but has a really beautiful length through it.
Yeah. You mentioned style. Is there a Craggy style in your mind, or are you reshaping that style? How does that work when you're a new winemaker going in?
Yeah, the ultimate driver is make sure you keep your job, Anthony.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I don't think there's any problem with that, but go ahead.
No, so I think if we were to touch on the style, I think it's purity would be the one word I'd look for. So we don't want, you know, too many arms and legs. We're looking for something that's really pure, and that gives that expression of the variety.
Yeah. Is there any way you could compare it? I mean, I know a lot of people here know something about Sancerre. They know something about Chilean Sauvignon Blanc. Where would you place your Sauvignon Blanc in that sort of spectrum of flavors?
Yeah, I think Sancerre, but maybe with a little bit less of the oak impact, is probably a really good comparison.
Yeah. We're speaking with Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. I want to talk to you also about Pinot Noir, New Zealand Pinot Noir, which I think over-delivers in a general sense in price and quality. But what is your take on Pinot and where you're at? We see it being grown all over New Zealand. What can you tell us about what's happening in the north?
Yeah, I mean, I agree entirely in terms of over-delivering. You know, if you look at in the world, there's only so many places outside of Burgundy where Pinot can grow. And we think that New Zealand, and in particular the Martinborough region, is one of the best places to grow Pinot Noir. And that's because it's got very long sunlight hours. It doesn't get too hot. Mm-hmm. And in terms of clones, we have a huge selection of clones. So again, like the Sauvignon, you know, for 31 hectares of Pinot, I make 50 wines, 50 different wines in, wow, in the fermentation area. So it's a really kind of, in terms of the style of Pinot Noir that people might be expecting from New Zealand, try to think of a really beautiful aromatic style and yep, not and something that has a very balanced alcohol. So you're never going to see huge alcohols in our Sauvignon. It's, again, it's a very kind of pure and expressive, yeah, style.
I love these discussions because I know that our listeners, so they buy a bottle of Pinot Noir and they drink it, but they don't really, they're not thinking that there was 40 or 50 different lots of wine that went into the selection of that wine. That really focuses even my attention on the wine, thinking, wow, these guys are not leaving any stone unturned. Good for you for doing that. And, we hope you can keep doing that at the same price.
Yeah, no, and I think anyone who knows that people that grow Pinot Noir, it's the most, one of the most fickle varieties. And I think, you know, that what I just told you before is probably just a reflection of our attention to detail to make sure that these wines are, you know, a best representation of they can be.
Yeah. Finally, we're almost out of time, but I've always thought that Chardonnay was really overlooked by consumers, Chardonnay coming out of New Zealand. How are you making out with Chardonnay? Because there's nothing like a great Chardonnay.
Yeah, no, and we know we are one of the more prominent exporters of Chardonnay from the region and from New Zealand. And well, I agree with you entirely. I think anywhere that you grow Pinot Noir, you should be able to grow great Chardonnay. And if anything, we've suffered from the fact that there's a lot of great Chardonnay out there. But I think climatically, as we move into the future, New Zealand is one of the best places in the world to grow Chardonnay.
Yeah. Julian, such a pleasure to talk to you. And I love drinking your wines. I love tasting them, but I love drinking them even more. I hope we see you in Vancouver soon. It'd be great to have a conversation here or maybe over there as well.
Yeah, great. And then you can take me back to that beautiful sushi place that we went.
Yeah, always.
A few years ago.
It's still there.
Love to. Thanks. So yeah, great to talk.
Thanks, Julian. Have a great day.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Julian Grounds. He's the chief winemaker for Craggy Range. Now, there's plenty more to come. You won't want to miss the next guest, Bruce Tyrrell, the managing director for Tyrrell's Winery. Tyrrell's has a long, long history of selling wine in Canada and right here in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com. Penticton, a perfect place for summer fun. Plan your September vacation around these great events. Let the good times roll at the Pentastic Hot Jazz and Music Festival beginning September 8th, followed by the Penticton Dragon Boat Festival September 9th and 10th at Skaha Lake Park. September 11th, rock out to Brian Adams at the South Okanagan Events Center. Or later in the month, check out the Bonnie Raitt and Steel Panther concerts. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more festivals and events.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Meet, greet, eat.
Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me no more. Hello, British Columbia. We're back, and joining us now, a very special guest all the way from Australia, from New South Wales, Bruce Tyrrell, the managing director of Tyrrell's Winery, one of the legendary names in wine in Australia, one of the first wineries I ever visited in Australia. Bruce, how are you?
Good, thank you, mate. Very well. Very well.
We really appreciate you getting up early. It's about 6:30 in the morning there, and it's of course, that's nothing to someone who grows grapes, I guess.
Yeah, if you get to vintage time, the day's well and truly underway by 6:30.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about Tyrrell's? I mean, the winery now is it's over 160 years old. Are you the fourth generation or?
Yeah, I'm the fourth. I've just the day-to-day management have just handed it over to the fifth.
Wow.
So I'm the chairman now, and my son Chris looks after all the day-to-day operations. Eh?
Wow. How do you last 160 years, Bruce? What's the secret?
I don't know. You've got to be pretty determined. I think that's the secret to it. And look, be lucky enough as we were to get a really good country.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather really knew nothing about growing anything much. His father was an eye surgeon in London.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'd want eye surgery in about 1700, but it would have been much fun. And he just landed here. You know, got 320-acre lot of land, and other people were growing grapes. So I suppose he started, and we were just lucky that we'd been 5 miles east of where we are, we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
Yeah.
Because it had been on lousy country that didn't do anything.
Yeah, well,
so I think that's probably been the secret of it.
Sure. Just some geography for people. Whereabouts is Tyrrell's? Let's say in relation to Sydney, where I guess a lot of people know where that is.
Yeah. We're about 100 miles. You still miles or you kilometres now?
We're kilometres.
You're kilometres. 165 kilometres north of Sydney. North of Sydney.
Yeah.
So we're about 20 k's in from the coast at Newcastle.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about a couple of wines that I think have been a big part of your history, Shiraz and Semillon. Let's start with Semillon, as you like to say sometimes, Semillon.
I say Semillon. If you'd had your nose broken as many times as I have, say Semillon.
All right, Bruce, let's talk Semillon, Hunter Valley Semillon. What can you tell us about it? What have you learned over all these years about Semillon? And why is it so great?
I don't know. Look, it's somewhere in the world, every grape variety grows really well. And this is the home of Semillon. I don't know what it is. It just is what it is. Lighter sandy soils, the flats here seem to suit it. The climate suits it. It's an early ripener.
Yeah.
Which is good for us because it keeps us away from the wet at the end of vintage, which we normally get.
Yeah.
But it just, it gets flavor ripe at about 10.5-11 alcohol.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's probably what makes it unique. And it's still then, of course, got wonderful acid and low pHs, and so it's got the ability to live as well.
Yeah.
So that's probably the trick. The thing, if you put them away, they'll live for 20-30 years.
Yeah. Bruce Tyrrell's the chairman of Tyrrell's Winery. Bruce, you just nailed it there, because I know that drinking, we can drink very young Semillon with our seafood here, our shellfish, yeah. but something happens, and is it like the third or fourth or fifth year when it just flips over to a completely different wine?
Yeah, about 5 years, 4 to 5 years, it goes through this change, and the acid softens a bit. Mm-hmm. Flavor fills up, and it just changes.
Yeah,
get these older characters, then it'll do it again in about 10 years old, and then they can hang around for as long as you like after that in the really good years. My ideal drinking time sort of 9 or 10 years old, but you can drink them young. When a younger seafood. Yeah, it's a great drink with seafood, because a lot of seafood doesn't have that much flavour.
Yeah.
And if you've got a big, heavy Chardonnay with it, that kills it.
Yeah, it kills it.
Kills the seafood.
It's kind of, when it's young, it's like almost like a squeeze of lemon on the seafood, from my point of view.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit, or a lot, actually. Let's talk about Shiraz. I mean, it's been so famous. You know, Australia's had its up and down time sort of globally. What's the state of Shiraz in your mind today coming out of Australia?
I think we're walking away from the really massive Shiraz.
Yeah.
Went through that period where a lot of South Australian, you know, Barossas, McLaren Vales, well, you can get them very ripe. And because you could, I think people started to, and then they got attention. But then, you know, they didn't live as long, and they weren't as nice to drink. You know, I can't drink 15 alcohol red anymore.
No.
I probably never could. And I think you I always say that when the grapes are ripening, you hit a stage where you go from sweet fruit to dry extract.
Yeah.
And they lose that lovely sweetness and liveliness on the palate. You know, we used to drink those wines at 13, 13 and a half, which is where we make our Shiraz.
Right.
In this area. So, yeah, I think a lot of that got a bit big and people sort of backed off a bit. Pinot Noir in Australia is having a real run at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, even some Italian varieties.
Yeah, we get it all. You named them. See, when the sort of, well, grapevines came into Australia from everywhere. But in 1830, you imagine a government with this foresight today. Yeah, the government sent James Busby back to Europe to get the great grapevine collection. He came back with 660 different varieties and clones of varieties from all over Europe, which is fantastic. Now, our oldest block here, which is on this place, is planted in 1879, supposedly comes from the Hill of Hermitage. Now, there's one historian that is certain that it comes off La Chapelle. Now, I don't know.
All right. I like that.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are all these, and we never had phylloxera. So, you know, we're lucky that we've got some of the oldest vines in the world.
Yeah.
I think I've got the oldest Chardonnay on the planet.
I think you do. In fact, I still have a magnum of 76 Tyrrell's Chardonnay. How do you think it'll be? I should open it, I guess. It's probably ready.
It's probably matured enough now.
Oh, well, we'll have some fun with it.
Hopefully the cork's okay.
Yeah.
And, I'd be drinking that fairly soon.
Okay, just quickly, Bruce, before we run out of time. So the Tyrrell's Old Winery Shiraz, which is currently on sale for only $16.99 in BC, what can you tell people? What can they expect when they pop the cork on that or the screw cap?
It'll be, take the screw cap off, no corks. We do not have a cork on the property anymore.
Right.
It'll be medium body. Should be fairly, plenty of fruit, plenty of flavour. soft but nice acid, so it'll finish nice and clean. And yeah, it'll be a bit, you know, you'll open the bottle and you'll turn around and it's empty.
that's always the
really
best.
Easy to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the best.
Well, Bruce, it's really been fun catching up. I hope maybe we can see you in Vancouver again a couple more times. As your workload drops a bit, you can do a bit more storytelling.
Yeah, a bit more traveling. And, that's what Pauline and I are looking to do. And, you know, Vancouver has always been our favorite city anywhere. We always say we have to live in the city anywhere in the world and be Vancouver.
Okay, we're still here. You can move here. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind going to New South Wales for a while. Maybe we'll just swap. As long as I don't have to get up at 6:30 in the morning.
No, it's force of habit.
Yeah.
Force of habit.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay.
Ciao. That was Bruce Tyrrell. He's the chairman of Tyrrell's Winery in New South Wales and a longtime provider of wine over 50 years now. In British Columbia. Okay, up next, get ready. Michael Dowell, farmer, vintner, owner, Liber Farm Winery. He joins us on the show to talk about his properties in the Similkameen and now his latest venture in the South Okanagan. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the ultimate outdoor adventure location and home of Ironman Canada, August 27th. Come support the athletes as they swim, bike, and run through the gorgeous landscapes of Penticton and the South Okanagan. And after a long day of endurance sport for the athletes or cheering from the fans, why not take a relaxing visit to one of the almost 90 nearby wineries? For information on more upcoming festivals, events, or triathlons, go to visitpenticton.com. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120 Reserva from Vina Santarita. Like reason number 11, it's Friday night and you have no obligations. Or reason number 37, your inbox is completely empty. It's all part of living La Vida 120, taking advantage of the simple side of life and enjoying every moment with the people you love with no complications. There are 120 little reasons to celebrate with 120. What's yours? Find out more at santarita.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Cowichan is one of the province's key regions for winemaking, and they're making some really vibrant Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays, and it's getting better and better every day. How many wineries are there in the Cowichan?
Yeah, that's right. Cowichan is home to 14 wineries. It was designated as an official wine region. This is because of Cowichan's warm, Mediterranean-like climate, the rich, fertile soil, and just the passion of the local winemakers. Many of the wineries are family-owned and operated. Cowichan also features a handful of cideries, distilleries, and breweries.
Well, I've been watching the region for some time, and I think for those who don't know it, the explosion of wineries and growth is something to be seen. And of course, for people who want to get up there, they should start planning their tour.
Yeah, I'd recommend spending multiple days in the region and just enjoying the unhurried pace. There are a handful of hotels, plenty of B&Bs and vacation rentals. And if you want to leave the planning to someone else, I would recommend taking a guided winery tour with one of our local tour operators.
A lot of people love to visit wine regions like the Cowichan during the harvest. What major events happen annually that visitors can look forward to?
Well, the annual Cowichan Valley Wine Festival will be happening this year over the month of August. It's a great opportunity to enjoy award-winning wines, experience the vineyards, and meet the winemakers in person. This October, we have the annual Cider Harvest Festival at Marydale Cidery and Distillery. This event features over 15 BC cideries, and they also have the annual Craft Spirit Festival in November, which brings in over 10 of BC's top craft distillers.
Mm. Well, it's one of BC's premier wine and spirit producing regions, and it's fair to say that there are plenty of opportunities for those who like to have the odd drink or two in the Cowichan. Thanks for sharing, Kenzie.
You're very welcome.
Hey, make your plans to visit the Cowichan Valley at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
But you, when you dance, 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 feel good, good creeping up on you, so just dance.
Hello, BC, from Victoria to Salmon Arm and all 20 cities across the province. Listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network, we're pleased to have Mike Dow with us. He's the owner, farmer, and vintner of Liber Estates. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello.
Great to catch up with you. You brought my favorite wine with you, Chardonnay.
Yeah, it's been a nice hot summer, so it's still time to drink some nice Chardonnay.
Oh, I think any time is a good time to drink Chardonnay.
True.
It's nice to bring two wines. Liber Estates, everything's evolving at your establishment. The name, the labels, the tiers. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the packaging for your wines now.
Yeah, well, when we first started off, you know, Liber Farm and Winery was kind of like, you know, we're really passionate about it. And as we kind of evolved and kind of changed and made the move to Osoyoos and, you know, basically secured some more farmland and created more of an estate-driven focus where, you know, now all three sites that we pull fruit from, we are making all the decisions from start to finish.
Yeah.
And we just felt the Liber Estates was a nice way of kind of showing that. And, you know, with the different labels now, you know, we're getting away from the big font with the Everyday Chardonnays and the Let Me Be Francs and focusing more on the just the Liber name and then also Liber's backwards, which we pronounce Rebel.
Yeah. Very clever.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't say we're the smartest, but, you know, sometimes.
No, I think it's really clever. I just like to watch people discover that.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it was kind of funny how it happened. We were just at dinner with the kids, as usual. Like, some of our ideas always come up, and my wife just said, you know, if we put Liber backwards, it's Rebel. And
yeah.
It was just like, okay, well, that's a lot easier than some of the other names we were trying to come up with. So, yeah. It just kind of worked.
Yeah, and it's a nice differentiation. So you brought today the Liber 22 Everyday Chardonnay and the Rebel 2019. So we'll try them side by side. What are the differences? How would you describe?
Well, the biggest difference is the white label or the is the Everyday Chardonnay, which is more of a stainless steel driven fermentation and aging. You know, more approachable earlier in its life. Whereas the black label Rebel, we're on the 2019 vintage, which is again your barrel fermented style of Chardonnay, full mallow, you know, sits in the barrel for anywhere between 9 to 12 months, depends on kind of where the vintage is at. So,
yeah. And the sourcing or?
Yeah, it's all from the same farm. So yeah. we just pick the rows that we feel are kind of the best representation of each one. And then of course with the 2019, because of the barrel ferment and aging, you know, we definitely need to give that some time in the bottle to kind of settle down and be a little more approachable.
Well, it's a nice comparison to have the barrel fermented style versus mostly stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference in the style, and you know, one's fresher and a little lighter and brighter, and the other has a lot more gravitas and looks like it will age nicely for another 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Definitely, yeah. And the nice thing that we like to do too is we've actually into the Everyday Chardonnay, Mike, our winemaker Mike Anderson, we've kind of incorporated some neutral barrel aging in there too as well to kind of give it some more body and some more flavor as our palates have become a little more trained to dealing with bigger Chardonnays.
Yeah, a bit more oxygen into the wine, always good.
Fresh
We didn't gloss over it, but it's organic as well, and screw cap. So these are two big wins for me and for consumers, I think.
Correct.
They want to just get it open. But organic is important. It's been important to you.
Yeah, it is for us. You know, we have small children, and we just think it's something that, you know, we feel good about doing.
Yeah.
We're passionate about it. Another thing, too. We made the change. Now all our wines from this last bottling forward, even our reds are going to all be in screw cap. We're getting away from the tin in the capsules, the tin in the corks.
Yeah.
So everything's going to be in screw cap. We're going to, you know, probably increase our can line. Alternative packaging is very big for us as well. And, trying where we can to help where we can, I guess, in the environment. But the organics is, you know, for us, it's just the way we want to do things.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, you get my respect because it's not cheap. All these things cost money. There's simpler ways to do it, but they're not so good for the world. And when we look around and see what's going on, we understand that we need to really clean up our act.
Yeah, for us, it's also important because, you know, we're a smaller outfit. We're not mass producing anything by any stretch of imagination. So I think the part that we appreciate too is we get to touch every vine. We get to almost touch every cluster. Like, we're part of every process from start to finish, whether it's, you know, early pruning or you know, shoot thinning or whatnot. You know, we're very hands on.
Yeah.
It does require more labor, which, you know, is has a cost, but you know, versus the cost of, to the environment or to the ground that we might be doing if we're spraying something that kills everything and anything. So
it's, is it crazy to think that maybe you should have a Saturday morning consumer come to the vineyard and see how we do it and get them, you know, grabbing some leaves off and et cetera?
Well, we're planning some things. This year, you know, we're doing some wine dinners at the tasting room, and we're trying to, you know, basically, you know, have people walk through our vineyards, be able to walk through our vineyards without worrying about stuff. You know, we're not quite to the touchy-feely stage yet, not yet, but it might be coming soon, so you never know.
Well, you got to have something to do on,
yes.
You know, between midnight and the morning sort of thing.
Yeah, so.
You jumped into this business. Is it everything you thought it would be and more?
Geez, yeah.
Or is it nothing?
Too much some days. Too much some days. Yeah, no, it's been a wild ride. You know, we came out here in 2016 and, yeah, we've been through a lot. We've learned a lot. We've learned the hard way on some things, but at the same time, you know, when we get our alone time with the kids or with friends or whatever, and we taste the wine that we've produced, it just, you know, it just kind of really makes us realize that we're pretty lucky, and there's not a lot of people that'll feel sorry for us. So there's no use hoping for that.
Yeah. Well, but it's good. I mean, I don't know. What would you say is the best thing about it that maybe you didn't know? Is that what it is, or?
I guess, you know, for me, it's the feedback. I didn't expect to have people taking time out of their day after trying your wine and sending you an email to say, you know what, I tried your wine and it was just really, really good. I want to join your wine club. And that, I think that period really helped thrust us through COVID, because it was some pretty bleak times there for us, being a smaller place. And it just made us realize that, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter at the end of the day when you get something like that. It just makes everything, kind of makes everything else, puts it in perspective.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You've been working hard. You know, you started in the Similkameen. You got something going now in the South Okanagan. What will be coming on there for consumers now? What are your plans to do there?
We're going to be definitely building a new winery, hopefully within the next couple of years. You know, we had ideas of a big grand tasting room, but that kind of went to the wayside when we needed the economics of it. And, just our facility out in Cawston is a little antiquated, so we want to kind of get into something a little more newer, just to make sure that we're doing the best for the wine. From there, we also have, you know, we have some young vineyards that are going to be on full production here soon, so we have some Malbec options coming up, some Cab Sav, some Petit Verdot. Our Pinot Blanc out in Cawston's getting bigger, and then we're probably going to have a Riesling program soon, and then I also have a vision for a big massive development out in Cawston for another 5 acres, which will kind of be my final vineyard build, I hope, of my own.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yes, I know.
Because I've heard that before.
I know. I just gotta bite the bullet and just get the dozers in there and start clearing some land, and then that'll kind of be, I think, our you know, last big plant. And then from there, it's just a matter of, you know, refining the name. And, just, you know, putting our feet into where we want to, and hopefully get some traction.
So, like, just sit back, play some golf, and talk about the old days.
No, I don't play golf well enough to do that, to sit back. I'm usually out of the cart taking another swing. But, you know, for us, you know, we're fortunate. You know, we're an avid ski family, so we kind of get our breaks there. So that's kind of our time to sit back and, you know, kind of recuperate and get ready for the next season.
Well, Michael, the best wineries are always about family, so that's the thing to look after, and then the rest will look after itself.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I'm on a time period. My son is turning 9, so I think hopefully within the next 10 years, either he shows or I have to come up with a way out strategy, which, as we all know around here, can take quite a few years.
Quite a few.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens in the next decade.
Mike Dowell, owner, vintner, winemaker at Liber Estates. We've been tasting the 22 Everyday Chardonnay and the 2019 Rebel Chardonnay, both available online from the winery. Or drop by and taste them and pick them up in person. Hey, that's it for our show this week. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismani, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.